You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.
Today on our show, we're talking with Raven Schlossberg. Raven, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thank you for having me, Brainerd.
Let's talk about what's in your studio now or what you're working on. Can you tell me a little bit about what's happening in that regard, or if you're preparing for a show?
Yeah, right now I'm working on pieces for a super cool show called You Can Feel It at the Haus am Lützowplatz in Berlin, and that opens in November. Those are going to be collage pieces on panels. And my last solo show at Pavel Zubot Gallery in Chelsea was in March, so I'm just happy to be making work relatively pressure-free in the studio right now. And so I've been dividing my time between my studios in Brooklyn and California, and just working on a ton of different projects.
And so Pavel Zubek, I want to talk about some of those, but Pavel is representing you in New York?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And is there someone also representing you in Berlin and California, or no?
No, not currently.
Okay. So I want to hear about other projects, but tell me about the Berlin show. Why is that so special?
It's just a great alternative space, you know, kind of like Exit Art used to be, with great curated shows.
Right. So tell me a little bit about that space. That's cool. I'd love to see something like Exit Art used to be.
Yeah. Well, it's a beautiful old building, and they have two separate gallery spaces, a gallery in the garden area, a studio gallery, and then a main gallery, and lots of music events, and it's just a fantastic place. And that opens on November 13th.
And what's the name of that?
It's called the Haus, Haus am Lützowplatz.
And you said you're working on many other projects. What are those? What's happening in California? Or is something different happening on the West Coast?
Well, two different things are going on. I'm making a series of mixed media panel paintings that incorporate painting, drawing, collage, and printmaking, and I've been working on that series since 2007. Some of those pieces were in the show in Chelsea. And they're very gritty and deal with urban environments like old motels, dive bars, strip clubs, and have characters taken from biker magazines and punk magazines, fanzines, and you know, softcore pornography, all of that. And I'm real excited about that. It's going well.
Hmm.
And
so how will that end up? What is that exactly?
Yeah, there I start the panels with fabric. I print it. It's on birchwood panels. And then everything is drawn by hand in a comic book style. And then painted, and then collage, paper collage on top. It's an incredibly labor-intensive process, and they take a really, really long time. But that's what I've been doing with that. And so I'm just, you know, doing that, and I'm making a series of light sculptures made out of broken instruments that are inspired by the punk and goth scenes that I've been involved with my whole adult life. And they're broken instruments that were used on stage and destroyed, and I'm turning them into light and sound sculptures.
Wow, that's cool. How did you get the broken and destroyed instruments from on stage?
I have so many friends in different bands, and, you know, I just have feelers out there. You know, if you've completely destroyed your guitar, you know where to go, you know.
Wow, that's great. So
yeah.
That's another project, and that's happening where?
Those are in New York, in Brooklyn. And then the project that I'm working on in California is a series of photographs that I've been working on for 3 years that are they depict the evolution of a junkyard. I've been photographing this junkyard, showing just the change in debris. The series is called Debris of a Dream. And it's just the shifting strata of scrap and old cars, some crushed, some not, and how they build up and how it changes.
Wow, that's really interesting. That sounds really kind of I don't know what kind of genre documentary, but you're seeing something really shift in terms of the content there too, aren't you? Or is it not visible to that extent? You know what I mean?
That
different
really
things
visible.
Are...
It's just this massive junkyard that goes on for miles, and it's just nothing but old Cadillacs, old town cars, old vans, in so many different stages of decay. And I have this one image of an old Cadillac where the entire roof has been covered in moss. It's just grown these incredible layers of green moss.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know whether that sounds kind of dark or sort of fantastic, like where the fairies live. Right. Right. You know, so what did you, I mean, how long was that project, you said?
I've been working on it for 3 years.
So what have you seen, I mean, just physically change over 3 years? Have you seen much, or is it just more or less like more of the same?
No, I mean, things are changing, like plant life and trees are growing through cars. The whole bottom's rust out and things grow through. There's a jackrabbit that lives there that runs through, that I photograph running through this junkyard. You know, all different kinds of leaking substances grow out of the cars, and it's just vines. It's just insane.
I love that. Now, that's a very different way of approaching work, isn't it, than your visual work? Isn't that more of a kind of documentary as
is,
opposed to making pictures kind of thing?
Yeah. The thing is, I've been using a lot of my own photography within my collage work, so it's all intermixed. Everything is.
And what will happen with that?
Well, I definitely want to exhibit it when I'm ready, and I am going to put it in book form, for sure.
Right, yeah, it sounds like it would be a great book. And so is there another project that's happening now that you haven't mentioned?
No, just those three projects.
Okay. I mean, that's a lot. That sounds like a lot. Are you also teaching?
No, I'm not teaching. I'm working full-time in the studio.
Well, that's great. That's great. So let's move back a little bit to maybe just before you were working full-time in the studio. I don't know when that was, out of graduate school or... to kind of go through some of your work since then, when did you, let's say, first get a show? Maybe that's a good time to go back to what you would consider your first show.
Okay, I moved to New York in 94, and I went to the painting program at San Francisco Art Institute, SFAI, and then I moved to New York to do the ACAD New York Studio program in Tribeca. And through that, I got a job as an assistant to a German painter, which I did for years, even when I was showing, because it was just the best education I could possibly have on being a working artist. I recommend that to everybody.
Being an assistant. So, yeah, maybe talk about that for a minute. So being an assistant, because why? What were you really learning from him?
You can see the discipline that it takes every day in the studio to fulfill show obligations, for one. You see the ins and outs of buying materials, you know, budgeting, archiving your photos, which is a huge, big deal that nobody ever thinks about until it's too late. So you have to archive your entire career. And to shipping, you know, to how you wrap paintings to go. How do you wrap sculptures to go, you know, to Europe, et cetera? These are really super important things.
Right. So these are the things you're learning from and continue to learn in terms of just running a studio, the same.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so then I interrupted you to ask about that, though. What was next? This was still before you had a show.
Yeah. While I was doing that, starting in beginning of 95, I started going to a lot of openings, meeting everybody I could possibly meet, and having studio visits. And I started getting into group shows at places like Exit Art and also other galleries like Silverstein, which was in Soho at the time. And and then in 1997, I had a visit with a German dealer who put me in a group show. And through that group show, I got an incredible review and a full-page reproduction in the Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung, which is like the New York Times of Germany. And it completely changed my career in Europe. And so I started showing in Paris and Brussels and everywhere.
So you say in Europe. So in Europe, because I suppose it is a bit of a different art world than you. Yeah, in Europe. So you started after that group show. More people began calling you from Europe and inviting you to participate.
Exactly.
But that didn't translate to that happening at the same time in the United States.
It did. I got. I was in a two-person show with Inka Essenhai in Soho, and I was found by a dealer from James Graham and Sons, which used to have a fantastic contemporary program. And I was put in a group show there and got great press, Art in America, everything. And then I did a solo show in 2000 with them. And which is the oldest gallery in New York. No one knows that. It was the very first gallery.
I didn't know that either, yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting. They have a long history. But with, especially with artists, like they were the gallery for Andrew Wyeth and all of the real American school painters. But I got a huge amount of exposure through that. And then the director of that gallery left Valerie McKenzie and opened up McKenzie Fine Arts. And then I did my next solo show in New York there.
And people continue to like your work. You've enjoyed a lot of, you know, good critical success, it sounds like, during those years, during that short, well, that wasn't a short period, like a 10-year period.
Yeah.
We're almost going through.
But, you know, it was an interesting time because not that many people were doing collage. You know, now everybody does collage, but it was not really that, you know, popular. It was a kind of painting-centric time. And
you saw that as a painting-centric time?
I think so.
You know, I mean, I talk to different people who everybody sees, like, different times as being centric to different things. I keep hearing that it's a kind of conceptually heavy time, and that painters and visual artists, by and large, are hard to, you know, it's hard to get a show. But it seems that there's all these worlds have always been and are still are very much alive. But so you're saying collage, yeah, was I mean, it wasn't what you were seeing a lot of, certainly, or anything like that. But but that's interesting that that's how you were seeing it then, as opposed to it being more about painting.
Exactly. But I've always considered myself a painter. I was trained oil painter, figurative painter. And but I work in collage. I make collage that looks like paintings to the point where they're so seamless that people don't know what's collage and what's paint. It seems to be. That's what I hear, at least. You know?
Right, which makes them paintings for sure.
Exactly.
So that's and then what happened next? And then Pavel Zubek was next?
Then, yeah, after my show in Chelsea with McKenzie, I moved to Pavel Zubach. And the reason why was because it is the best gallery for collage, maybe in the world. And I wanted a place where they understood and could push that kind of vision, you know, showing people like Joseph Cornell and Man Ray, et cetera. I wanted to be in that company.
That is very exciting. It's a great gallery. So what is next? What will be the next thing that you would see? I mean, to direct listeners to, it would be what's happening in Berlin?
Mm-hmm. That would be next. and I'm real, real happy that I don't have anything else going on, because I've been doing a lot of group museum shows over the last couple of years and had a lot of pressure to do things like that. And now I feel kind of like I can breathe and just experiment a lot in the studio, which is amazing.
Well, it's an amazing position you've come to. I mean, I interview a lot of artists of all kinds, but it sounds like you're in a position now where you're a full-time artist and it's supporting you. Is that correct? That's what's happening now?
Yeah.
How does that feel, having happened? Does it feel, I don't know, like you understand the mechanisms a little more of why that happens to some people and not others?
No, I think it's just right place, right time. Things can always change at any moment. You know, it's the art world. It's fickle.
Mm.
And I don't get too overly confident. You know, I just keep work I possibly can.
Has your studio practice changed since you were able to do it full-time?
No, I've always been super, super disciplined. I never feel like I'm doing enough. So I'm in the studio all day, every day, you know, no matter what. It's like I don't let myself relax. I rarely, rarely take holidays. I see all my friends taking holidays, and I was like, I'm in the studio. I've got my music.
No holidays. Weekends and no weekends.
No. I'm fortunate enough to have a garden, so that's where I'm at, you know, right outside my studio door.
That sounds nice.
That's my holiday.
Well, Raven, I look forward to your shows. There'll be links to them in the interview, and I want to thank you for talking with me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Brainerd.
You're listening to Yale Radio WIVC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.